Came across a book last week entitled God's Surprise Partial. Subtitle is When God Wrecks Our Plans. I wonder if you've ever found yourself thinking something like that. What's God doing? My plans, plans I had for today, or plans I had for this week, this month, this year, my life, have been wrecked, thrown into disarray. And maybe you question God's goodness. Or perhaps a slightly different thought has crossed your mind in difficult circumstances. You've thought, well, we'll just hang on in here until we start to experience and enjoy God's goodness again. Or sometimes we say things like, God was good to me today. I once said that, and Stephen Wright, his response was a good one. He said, Mark, God is always good. And that's exactly true. Everything we receive from God's hand is good. He is never any less good or any more good. He is always perfectly good. And as Christians, you might be afraid perhaps to say to God, Lord, increase my faith. Because what does that mean you're asking for? How can our faith be increased? We saw last time that certain qualities can only be learnt in difficulty. We ask God to increase our faith, it means we've got to go through a difficult time. Asking God to increase our patience, often that means the difficult and obnoxious circumstances or people that are harsh and nasty to us will be brought into our lives. And then maybe we're afraid to pray for these great qualities. God, increase my patience or increase my faith. But we don't need to be afraid. Why? Because everything that comes to us comes from the hand of a good God. We never need to doubt God's goodness. That is what David is telling us in this psalm. In verse 7, he says, they will celebrate what? Your abundant goodness. Goodness that is abundant, goodness that is overflowing, goodness that has no limit, goodness that has no boundary. God's goodness is abundant. That's what we need to remember. We need to remember that when we're suffering, God is good. When we're sick, God is still good. His goodness hasn't changed. That's the point what David is telling us. And if we wanted a title for today's message, it would be this. If you're a Christian, your God is abundantly good. Your God is abundantly good. Lots of ways the Bible uses this word goodness. It talks of God's goodness when it speaks of his mercy, or it can refer to his holiness, or it can refer to his patience, it can refer to his righteousness, it can refer to his compassion. And God is good in all these areas, but in particular in Psalm 145, David is using the word in a slightly different sense. It refers particularly in this passage and in many other passages to his kind generosity, to his tender-hearted sympathy, to his benevolence towards people. We would say that he's got a big heart and a big hand. One writer writes, generosity in God means to give to others in a way that isn't limited by what they deserve. God doesn't give to us according to what we deserve, but gives more than that, and consistently gives more than that. God is abundantly good. I want to show you this morning, how is abundantly good? What proof have we for that? What proof has David for that statement that God is abundantly good? I want to show you it in four ways. God is good, first of all, in what he has given to you. God is good in what he has given to you. What has he given to you? Well, first of all, he created you. He didn't have to, but he allowed you to come into being. Not only that, but he created a world for you. Not only that, but the world he created is an interesting world. It's a vast world that has a whole range of variety in it. He created you to know and to enjoy life. He created you with, well, it depends what age you are, but the younger ones amongst us have about 10,000 taste buds. Older people tend to have somewhere around the region of 5,000 taste buds. Why do we need taste buds? God created them to bring us pleasure and enjoyment when we eat food. He created us to enjoy sight and sound. He created you to enjoy people and relationships, to enjoy friends and family. Not only that, but he created the vast array of plants and animals, fruit and vegetables that we eat, that we season our food with. God is good. We see the abundance of his goodness even in creation. And why is being a creative thing so good? The reason this is so good is that because it gives you and me the opportunity to know this kind and great being. We have an opportunity to have a relationship with the kindest, greatest, most wondrous, most glorious, most good being in the universe. We have been created so that we can know God. God is good to you, and we could extend that. Think of all the things that you've enjoyed today. Rest, breathing, food, a home, family. All of these things that God has allowed you to have. Safety, education, income. He organizes the circumstances of our lives. Do you have a job? Don't think you got it by your own merit. You only have a job because God allowed you to have a job. Are you married? It's because God has brought that about. Do you have children? It's because God has allowed that. Do you enjoy safety from day to day? How's that? How come we weren't all driven over by some maniac in a 40-ton truck this morning on the way to church? God was good. God's goodness is all around us. You don't even have to be a Christian to enjoy God's goodness. Verse 9 tells us, quite startlingly, God is good to all. Think about that. That means he's good to the people that couldn't care less about him. He's good to the people that hate him. He's good to the people that really hate him. What about Satan worshippers? Is God good to them? Are they able to get up in the morning? Yes, well, God's good to them then. Are they able to breathe? Yes, God's good to them. Are they able to eat? Yes, God's good to them. Jesus in Matthew 5 says God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God's good to people, all people. He allows us to live, he allows us to enjoy life, he allows us to get on with life. People who have no time for God, he even allows people who persecute his people to get on with life. Why is that? Why is that? That God shows such kindness and generosity to all. Why is it that perhaps you here this morning, even though you're not a born again, you haven't trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, why is it that God is good to you? There's two reasons. One, he simply delights in displaying his goodness. Just delights him to display his generosity. But there's another reason. Paul tells us of it in Romans 2 and verse 4. Paul tells us that God's goodness is to lead you towards repentance. God's goodness is to be like a big magnet pulling you towards God and showing you, look, this is the sort of relationship that you could have with God. All of these good things have come from God. You know, God's kindness, his goodness in giving you food, breath, pleasure, enjoyment, it's not because he thinks you're great, but because he wants you to come to the giver of all of these gifts. You know, that shows us the madness of what some people say. Has somebody ever said to you, I don't need God, I'm doing all right, look at all the things I have. Who allowed them to have all those things? It was God. They're not doing great. They're ignoring the one who has given them the gifts, and they're missing the point of all the gifts. Or somebody else might say, I must be okay in God's sight because he's blessing me. Look at all the things he's done for me. Nonsense. Paul tells us that God is kind to us to bring us to repentance. So a person who has received a lot of blessings, who is breathing and living and enjoying life, and who hasn't come to God in repentance, is in great danger. They're snatching the gifts from God, and they're not giving anything in return. If that's you today, do you see what you need to do? You've got these things, that you will come to God and say, I'm sorry. That's what you've got to do. I'm sorry for all the wrong that I've done. I need you to change me and to make me love you. Because that's what the purpose is, to bring us into a relationship with this wonderful being who's full of abundant goodness. You know, J.I. Packer says in his definition of generosity and God's generosity, says, this generosity expresses the simple wish that others should have what they need to make them happy. This is what God's goodness is aimed at. Bringing utter delight to people. A delight that is beyond your wildest imagination. A joy, a pleasure, an experience of goodness that will make everything here seem dull and drab in this life. That's what God is aiming towards. The first area of God's goodness. God is good in what he has given to us. And those things he has given to us for a good reason. To draw us into this great relationship with him. It's good in another way. God is good in what he has done for you. And what he has done for you. If you're a believer here today, if you have asked Jesus to be your Savior, think about what that means God has done for you. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you haven't trusted Jesus, if God isn't the most important aspect of your life, here's what God is offering to do. Here's where we see God's goodness again. We see it in Psalm 145 and verse 7. David says, they will celebrate your abundant goodness. The next line he uses to explain God's abundant goodness, to explain his generous kindness. They will joyfully sing of your righteousness. David's saying the same thing over again, a different way. We see God's abundant goodness in his righteousness. Now that doesn't make sense. Did you ever realize that?